Where did you go? Dinner. Oh, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Seems like almost every day we get more and more evidence that the Trump administration knew well in advance of the very real threat of a pandemic and that they both ignored it and lied to the American people about it, despite the fact that the president keeps saying stuff like this.
Nobody could have predicted something like this.
Nobody knew there'd be a pandemic or an epidemic of this proportion.
I just think this is something, Peter, that you can never really think is going to happen.
It's an unforeseen problem. What a problem. Came out of nowhere.
We're having to fix a problem that 4 weeks ago nobody ever thought would be a problem.
It's something that nobody expected. I would view it as something that just surprised the whole world.
Baby, what a big surprise. Right before my very eyes.
There may and likely will come a time in which we have both an airborne disease that is deadly. And in order for us to deal with that effectively, we have to put in place an infrastructure, not just here at home, but globally, that allows us to see it quickly, isolate it quickly, respond to it quickly. So that if and when a new strain of flu, like the Spanish flu, crops up 5 years from now or a decade from now, we've made the investment and we're further along to be able to catch it. It is a smart investment for us to make. It's not just insurance. It is knowing that down the road we're going to continue to have problems like this, particularly in a globalized world.
And it shouldn't surprise you at all, you know.
It's very telling about his psychological state that when he means I, he says nobody. Folks, nobody could have kept a casino open in Atlantic City. Nobody really blew it. Nobody sucks. So nobody could have seen this coming. Yeah, Taiwan and South Korea and New Zealand and Singapore were all surprised. That's why they have a combined total of 12,000 cases and we have a total of 400,000 cases.
Don't be surprised.
This did not surprise the whole world. Just because it surprised you doesn't mean it surprised the world. Everything surprises you. Even your own speeches surprise you because you so often are reading them out loud for the first time, which is why you do that weird thing where you're both reading and doing a DVD commentary on your own speeches.
We will be sending aid to all 50 states. 50, wow. Wow, that's a big number, 50. Wasn't always 50.
Despite Trump's repeated claims that no one could have foreseen this, it turns out a lot of people foresaw this, including people in the Trump administration. Here's just a quick list. First, Obama officials walked Trump aides through a global pandemic exercise in 2017. Then, in 2017 and 2018, threat assessment intelligence analysts even mentioned a close cousin of coronavirus by name, saying it had pandemic potential. Then, in 2018, the director for medical and biodefense preparedness at the National Security Council told a symposium that the threat of pandemic flu is our number one health security concern. Then, top administration officials said last year that the threat of a pandemic kept them up at night. Then, White House economists warned in 2019 a pandemic could devastate America. Then, intelligence reports warned of coronavirus crises as early as November. And then, U.S. intelligence reports from January and February warned about a likely pandemic. Well, you know the old saying, eight strikes and you're out. Seriously, how many incredibly specific warnings do you need? After all those warnings, on Tuesday, we found out about yet another warning. When it was reported that Trump's trade advisor warned the White House in January of the risks of a pandemic, and at the top of the document he wrote, it literally says, memorandum to president. So they knew, and they lied to you. They told you it wasn't a threat, but they knew it was, and they put lives at risk. Not to mention all the economic carnage they knew was coming. They knew. But here's another part of the problem. The guy who wrote that memo, Peter Navarro, is also a crank. Because what happens when an oatmeal-brained sociopath guts the civil service and surrounds himself with fringe right-wing weirdos? Even if someone's right, you don't know who to believe. For example, Navarro, a trade advisor, has been one of the loudest voices in the administration pushing the unproven malaria medication hydroxychloroquine for coronavirus. Now, Navarro has zero medical expertise, which led to this exchange on CNN on Monday.
My qualifications in terms of looking at the science is that I'm a social scientist, I have a PhD, and I understand how to read statistical studies, whether it's in medicine, the law, economics, or whatever.
That doesn't qualify you to treat patients. Do you want an internist striking trade deals with Asian countries?
The decision's been made by many doctors to describe it, and if it saves lives, that's a beautiful thing. I think history will judge who's right on this debate, but I'd bet on President Trump's.
Attention viewers, I am Peter Navarro, and I've come from the future, the fall of 2020, to warn you that history has spoken, and it is not thrilled. Current day Peter Navarro has no idea what he's talking about. He's not a doctor. He's pretty much just a guy. Dearest viewers, I am Peter Navarro, and I've come from further in the future, December 2020, to warn you that, well, it's not really to warn you so much as just reiterate that current day Peter Navarro has no idea what he's saying. Thank you. Who did he cite? Many doctors? That should have been the end of it right there.
Whose fault? Let's play the play game.
The Obama administration made a decision on testing that turned out to be very detrimental.
Many administrations preceded me. For the most part, they did very little. World Health Organization, they called it wrong. They call it wrong. They missed the call. Like in Illinois, the governor couldn't do his job. With Governor Cuomo, he had a chance to order 16,000 ventilators 2 years ago, and he turned it down. He turned down the chance. Now, he can't be blaming us. I talk about the Chinese virus, and I mean it. That's where it came from.
It comes from China.
Certainly, the world is paying a big price for what they did. 10 to 20,000 masks. To 300,000. Something's going on. Where are the masks going? Are they going out the back door?
You did disband the White House pandemic office.
And when you say me, I didn't do it. We have a group of people. I could ask perhaps my administration, but I could perhaps ask Tony about that because I don't know anything about it. I mean, you say we did that. I don't know anything about it. I don't take responsibility at all.
Well, I'm happy to report, Colin, that America is now number one in the world for coronavirus. The number one while I was president. Hashtag America number one. Hashtag not important. Why?
You seem almost excited about it.
Well, my approval rating is up. My TV ratings are through the roof. And every night at 7 p.m., all over New York claps and cheers for the great job I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's for you, man.
You're wrong, LeBron. You're wrong. I'll be honest. this virus, this COFEFE 19, is really a death threat.
What exactly is your advice? Because it seems to change every 24 hours.
That's a nasty question. You're very nasty. Consistent all along. I've always said it was a giant hoax that we should take very seriously, even though it was invented by the Democrats. Impeach me, part two. So everyone needs to wash their hands or not.
I was wondering, where are you getting most of your advice for this?
We have to listen to the experts on this one. Me, Hannity, Jared Kushner, and Mike Lindell from MyPillow.
It was another manic Monday for old Yeller, who gave really an all-timer of a press conference yesterday. He was almost foaming at the mouth. He was huffing and puffing so much, you'd think he'd just done a sit-up. He's very upset. He's upset not about the death toll or the lack of ventilators, masks, tests, et cetera, et cetera. He's upset because he doesn't want blame. He wants credit. Blame bad, credit good.
I don't mind being criticized, but not when they're wrong. If you call CNN a network, I don't personally. You know you're a fake. You know that your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake. So the story in the New York Times was a total fake. It's a fake newspaper, and they write fake stories. And most of you, and not all of you, but the people are wise to you. That's why you have a lower approval rating than you've ever had before, times probably three.
Why are there no consequences for China, for the misinformation that they share?
How do you know there are no consequences?
Well, you've been asked it.
How do you know there are no consequences?
What are the consequences, Mr. President, for the misinformation?
I wouldn't tell you. You'd probably be the last person on earth I'd tell. The President of the United States calls the shots. When somebody's the President of the United States, the authority is total.
But who told you that the President has the total authority?
Enough.
You underestimate the power of the orange side. So he's handling this really well. But this is what happens when he goes a week without golf. He explodes. Trump is battling with the governors now. He insists that the President of the United States calls all the shots, which is, of course, not true, and totally contrary to the longtime position of the Republican Party, which believes strongly in states' rights. You can't embrace the Confederacy and the total authority of the federal government at the same time. It's like Thanos having an Iron Man-themed birthday party. You just don't do it. But after Trump went on his little power trip, a reporter from Politico had the good sense to ask Mike Pence, who was at one time governor of Indiana, what he thinks.
Mr. President, actually, this is a question for Mr. Vice President. Do you agree with the president's statement and his understanding of federalism that his power is total, right, in the way that he described it? Is there anything you'd like to add or any context you'd like to add to what the way he was discussing that?
I support the president's leadership under the national emergency declaration that he signed.
I thought robots weren't supposed to show fear.
You have to consistently shower Trump with compliments, or you'll fall out of his good graces. To stay in Trump's inner circle, you have to praise him without exception, which is something Trump's unwatered chia pet, Rudy Giuliani, understands better than most. Rudy actually offered some advice recently to governors and local officials who've been feuding with Trump over the fact that Trump has refused to supply them with adequate equipment, including ventilators and protective gear for healthcare workers.
A little advice for the governors and the mayors. Take the blame when you have to. You know, if you play with your boss, sometimes it's better if you don't win the golf game.
We have done a job the likes of which nobody's seen.
You know who really, really misses having an audience? Donald Trump. You see, he can't hold rallies right now because the coronavirus would threaten the lives of his supporters. And politics 101 is do not kill your voters. It's a bad move. So Trump has turned the coronavirus press briefings at the White House every day into just rallies where he rambles incoherently and attacks the press. And yesterday, he outdid himself with a hissy fit meltdown that clocked in at a generalissimo mas grande of 2 hours and 24 minutes. It was like watching The Irishman with just one unconvincingly de-aged criminal. Trump was angry, you see, with all the exposés that were published this past weekend about his well-known public failure to take the coronavirus seriously. So, he forced the assembled press to watch a video of his supposed coronavirus success.
We'll answer some questions. I'll ask you some questions because you're so guilty, but forget it. But most importantly, we're going to get back onto the reason we're here, which is the success we're having, okay?
Please, you could put it on.
It's ridiculous that the president of the United States used a press briefing on a global pandemic to subject a worried nation to a propaganda video. The only purpose of the press briefing is to give valuable information to a confused public in the middle of a national crisis. So, of course, Trump used it to brag about himself. It's like if the fireman showed up to your burning house and instead of picking up a hose, he said, "Wow, this inferno is the perfect backdrop for my one-man show about how it's not my fault that your house is burning down. And a 5, 6, 7, 8, I didn't start the fire." Trump's video about the bold action he took skipped over a couple of things. For instance, it skipped over the entire month of February. So CBS reporter Paula Reed had the temerity to ask him a question about that.
The argument is that you bought yourself some time. You didn't use it to prepare hospitals. You didn't use it to ramp up testing. Right,
you're
now,
so, you're nearly so, 20 million you're so people disgraceful. Are unemployed. It's so disgraceful the way you say that. Let me just, listen, I just went over it. I just went over it.
In an unprecedented crisis.
Nobody thought we should do it. And when I did it.
But what did you do with the time that you bought?
You know
the
we
month
did?
Of February. That,
you know
that
what
video
we did?
Was a gap.
What do you do?
Month of February.
What do you do when you have no case in the whole United States?
You had cases
when
in
you,
February.
You, excuse me, you reported it. Zero cases, zero deaths on January 17th.
February.
I said in January.
Your video has a complete gap.
On January 30th.
What did your administration do in February with the time that your travel ban botched?
A lot. What? A lot. And in fact, we'll give you a list. What we did, in fact, part of it was up there.
It
we did a lot.
A
look, look. You know you're a fake. You know that. Your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake.
You're a fake. You know you're a fake. You know February is a fake month. There are a lot of fake months out there. Some of the months are real, of course. January, March-bruary, April, Octopussy, and SantaCon.
But true to his word, Trump did have a list of what he did to fight the coronavirus in February, and I've got it right here. It includes a lot, banged pots in case viruses like bears, sent virus $130,000 to make it go away, wrote angry letter to Prime Minister of Corona, socially distanced Eric, called virus Little Covey on Twitter, and put off everything till March. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry, you were yelling at a woman? I know that's kind of your thing, but it doesn't mean she's wrong. You see, Mr. President, you can lie all you want, but what you're lying about happened less than 2 months ago. We were all here, and we had something called cameras, and they recorded you saying this.
And I think it's going to all work out fine. And you know, in April, supposedly, it dies with the hotter weather.
We have the greatest doctors in the world. We have it very much under control.
The people are getting better. They're all getting better.
We have it so well under control. I mean, we really have done a very good job.
Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. This is their new hoax.
There's no reason to panic at all. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
When you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero.
We remember that. We're not goldfish. You know how I know? Goldfish can still go to schools. We all remember that Trump, the Republicans, Fox News downplayed the seriousness of this virus and told us all to do nothing. They took all their chips and they bet the under and they lost. I'm not surprised they lost. Trump has bankrupted a lot of casinos. So Trump has no chips, but somehow he believes that he's the dealer. Case in point, reopening the country. Trump thinks he's the one who gets to do it, while the states say, no, we're good. Because governors on the East and West Coasts have formed PACs to decide when to reopen their economies. Okay. Groups of states banding together regionally to do things on their own is always a harbinger of good things to come in America, right? It's like that famous quote, a house divided against itself is going to be fun. Trump insisted, despite what the states may think, he's the one in charge because when someone's president, their authority is total.
When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total.
Well, I'll give him this much. He does have authority and the country is totaled.
You will respect my authority.
One reporter challenged Trump's claim.
You said when someone is president of the United States, their authority is total. That is not true. Who told you
know
that?
What we're going to do? We're going to write up papers on this.
Trump has now promised us a list of all the preparations he took in February and an explanation of why he has total power as the president. And I'm assuming he'll deliver all of those pieces of paper when he sends over his tax returns and his high school report on To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah, at this point, Trump has more pages to release than George R.R. Martin.
Now, New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo was on CBS this morning, and he is not buying the president's assertions of authority.
The president's position is just absurd. It's not the law. It's not the Constitution. We don't have a king.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
With no more king.
We're going to elect a president.
No more king.
He's going to do what the people want.
No more king.
We're going to run things our way.
No more king.
What to do.
I don't know. He seems like a king. Golden crown, multiple wives, inbred sons. And Cuomo also reminded his fellow governors not to take Trump's propaganda-infused press conferences seriously.
A governor should not watch that. There's no value in it. It is infuriating and offensive and frankly ignorant of the facts. If it wasn't so serious, it would be funny, all of this. It could be a comedy skit.
Sir, on behalf of people who have dedicated their entire lives to comedy skits, I am offended by the comparison. Comedy skits should be less than 2.5 hours long, and the punchline shouldn't make you want to punch someone in the face. Later in the day, Cuomo said if Trump ordered him to reopen his state in a way that would endanger people, he wouldn't do it. That may have led to this strange tweet.
Tell the Democrat governors that Mutiny on the Bounty was one of my favorite all-time movies. A good old-fashioned mutiny every now and then is an exciting and invigorating thing to watch, especially when the mutineers need so much from the captain. Too easy.
My point is that cruelty with purpose is not cruelty. It's efficiency.
First of all, what? Second of all, what the f***? Third of all, for one of his favorite movies, Trump is not that clear on the plot of Mutiny on the Bounty. Things do not turn out well for Captain Bligh. He's overthrown and ends up in a tiny boat rowing back to England. God, I hope this is like Mutiny on the Bounty. Does Trump misinterpret every movie he sees?
Look, tell the Democrat governors that Silence of the Lambs, one of my all-time favorite movies, it's about a concerned scientist trying to catch a killer and coming up with some creative fava bean recipes for everyone he's got quarantined in his basement pit. The governor opens up its state or it gets the hose again.
Still hunting President Trump.
Do you know him?
I do. We were golfing buddies once. We ate our caddy, turned him into a taco bowl with a nice Diet Coke.
Now, before all the fireworks began, Trump's briefing started with a public humiliation of Dr. Anthony Fauci. You see, on Sunday, Dr. Fauci said that he had received pushback on enacting life-saving social distancing earlier in the pandemic, but he walked that back at the press conference in front of the president.
You said there was pushback.
Yeah.
Where did that pushback come
from? No, it wasn't. That was the wrong choice of words.
Specifically, it was the wrong choice to use words. When describing this administration's response, I should have just said, Paula Reid was also skeptical about Fauci's sincerity.
Are you doing this voluntarily, or did the president...
No, I'm doing it. Everything I do is voluntarily. Please, don't even imply that.
Yes, this is the universal sign for I'm not a hostage. Don't even imply I'm blinking out a different message in Morse code. Call the police. You know what? I say good for Dr. Fauci. I don't care if he is being pressured. Say anything, sir. Do anything to stay in that room. Don't leave us alone with the bad man. So it was a 2.5 hour long, insane, emotional, misinforming, propagandistic press conference. But at least this reporter asked the question that was on all of our minds.
What's happening?
How well do you think Americans are equipped psychologically to deal with this kind of pandemic?
Well, the good news is people tend to be really resilient to stress. Most people are. But they are going to look to their leaders for advice. And leaders need to be really careful about the sort of messages they send out. People's anxieties about infection depends on whether they see their leaders as responsible and trustworthy and able to do the job.
Sorry, you said our leaders, it comes down to our leadership?
In part.
Yeah.
thanks for the song from ex-Chicago.
Billy, Joel, Knowles, Barkley, Zap, Travolta, and Oliver, Newton-John,
Kanye West,
Zap, Williams,
Schoolhouse,
Buckholm,
and Golden, Earring,
and thanks to
Rod, Serling, Rudy, Giuliani, Cartman, Richard, Nixon, Seth, Myers,
Barack Obama,
Peter, Navarro,
Zap,
Berman, Tooning,
Dathickness,
Alec, Baldwin, Colin, Jost,
Michael,
Che,
from Saturday Night
Live, Jimmy,
Kimmel, Mike, Pence, Stephen, Colbert, Paula, Reed, Trevor, Noah, Andrew, Captain, Bly,
Clarice,
Starling,
Desi,
Lydic.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.